This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Essa de la Luna live on stage, followed by the film Rear Window. Doors open at 6:30 at the Clinton Street Theater, 26th and Southeast Clinton in Portland. Tickets are available now at Brown Paper Tickets. Seating is limited. 100% of ticket sales go to KBOO for this benefit spectacular. See events under the KBOO website for February 14th, Valentine's Day. See you there.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
Mike. Oh. Oh. Look at that. Yeah. Yeah. Shooting my phone. Yeah.
I like that. Incorporated in this hour, we will have some laughs and hear some great music and settle in with us and our host, Ibrahim Mubarak, and myself, Lisa Fay, as we welcome you to another wonderful hour from Right to Survive Radio. With Valentine's Day this week, we thought we would have couples sharing their stories in love and happiness. We'll get answers to how our couples survive the challenges they face, stay strong, and tend to their love. Within each relationship, we will hear how both partners complement and complete each other.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in a houseless community in Portland, Oregon, talking to houseless people. This is February, the love month. This is our second annual Love in a Houseless Community. And today I'm here with
Harley Williford.
Lisa Mazzotti.
When you first saw Harley, did your heart beat heavy or something?
No, I thought he was pretty annoying, by the way.
So what made you talk with him or flirt with him or get his attention? Did you make goo eyes or send him a love note? Or how did you get his attention? What did you do?
I think maybe he actually came over to my apartment and asked to borrow something a couple times. So I think that's how we started talking.
And your heart went...
No, I still, like I said, it took me a good month to actually be like, oh, well, he cares about me, so, you know, he's a good guy.
What about you, Holly? What made you pursue Lisa as in courtship?
Actually, she pursued me. I didn't pursue her at all. She is so full of it. She's...
So her eyes popped out of here when she said, boing, 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 when she saw you, huh?
We watched TV together in the same person's apartment, and we both like Saturday Night Live a lot. So it just became every week we were hanging out with each other. And one day she said that she didn't have any food, and I was out of food in my apartment, so I decided to take her out to get something to eat. And she ended up slipping and hurting herself, and I took her home and patched her up because I had a first aid kit. And after that, I couldn't get rid of her.
What was that, y'all first date?
Kind of. I mean, we really don't, since we're houseless, get to go out too much. So, I mean, here and there we get to go out. But, I don't know. I mean, we just hung out that time. We were still friends, but that's when I realized, you know, maybe he would be a good boyfriend.
So you all were friends first, huh?
Yep, for sure.
You all don't go out much because you're in a houseless community and it's hard to do. So does that make you feel like you're missing something, or it makes you sad around Valentine's Day when people are buying chocolates and stuff like that?
Yes and no. I've been broke this whole time, and she's been with me for 3 years. So to me, it's actually pretty refreshing to know that she's not with me because she gets something out of it, that there's no material incentive for it, that the only benefit she gets from being with me is being with me, not that I'm paying her way through something. That's really nice when you see all these couples where it's pretty obvious they don't really like each other. It's just one of them provides sex and the other provides stuff. I don't want any part of that, so.
But you do desire that, and you relate that to her, right?
Yeah, I'd love to buy her things. That'd be really nice. It'd be nice to take her to places, but we find other ways to be romantic.
Valentine's Day isn't necessarily all mushy and stuff. It should, you know, it should be a day where you think about the people you love and, you know, think about how you cherish them and, you know, do something extra nice for them. Not necessarily in a sexual way, but, you know, say, oh, well, I, you know, say something about how you appreciate their company or whatever.
So how did you all celebrate the last, let me, this will be your third Valentine's Day, so the last two Valentine's Days?
Well, the first one, we'd just gotten together, but the first one, I was out on a school trip snowboarding. The second one, all we could really do was make dinner, and he donated money for, what's that stuff called? Whenever he donate blood, he would, like the last Valentine's Day before, after that, he got me a rose bush and a teddy bear, which I still have in our tent. Really cute. And then this last one, he actually got me another rose bush, but was a different color. Like the first one was red and the other one was a really pale pink.
So you know each color means something, right?
Yeah, I do.
What do the pale pink mean?
I totally forgot.
And the red?
Love, definitely. Everybody knows that. That's a given.
So he gave up red blood for a red rose. That's so sentimental. So what you plan on doing this year, if unless it's a secret?
Well, actually what we're planning on doing is getting married on Valentine's Day. She needs to get her ID first, but assuming we get to do that first, then we're planning on go up to the courthouse, fill out the paperwork, have someone sign it, saying that they're a witness. And then we'll be official. That way I can call her my wife instead of my girlfriend.
Love is not material or financial. Can you explain your form of love?
Well, we're friends first, and then, you know, comes all the sexual stuff, and we support each other in ways that, you know, other people can't support one another. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, we can't really be split apart sleeping at night, which is what most couples on the streets run into. That's why most couples are on the streets together, because they don't want to split up. And especially with us, we're our number one mental support. I feel like if we were split up at night, that would be really hard.
Most shelters won't let you be in there together. There's like, you go to the men's shelter, you go to the women's shelter. You do this and this and this, and maybe you'll have 3 hours out of the week that you actually have alone together. And I'd rather die of hypothermia than have to spend all my time away from Lisa.
do you find sometimes by being the man, the male figure, with so much pressure is put on the male figure, and so you must take care of the women, you have to get a job, you must provide, that it's not happening as soon as possible? And do you understand that role? Does it depress you?
Well, for one, I do what I can. There's not a whole lot of work out there. Most of the jobs nowadays require some sort of a degree, years of experience. No one's willing to actually hire someone who's not trained and then train them. Because they don't have to. They can always hire someone who has a PhD and is just on hard luck and they just need a job, you know? Why would they hire me to wait tables when they can have someone who used to be a manager of a restaurant wait tables? And as far as my responsibility as to take care of her, this is the 21st century. Lisa's a grown adult. She can take care of herself as well as I can take care of myself. She's not a child. She's not stupid. She's not weak. I help take care of her. She helps take care of me. If we go down, we go down together. If we get up, we get up together. She shares just as much that responsibility as I do.
And that's the meaning, the true meaning of partnership. That means together, not one. And in that, you give all that you can. You know, if 5% is all that you can give, long as you're giving all that you can. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that feel to you, Lisa, being the woman of this relationship, that you know that you're with somebody that's having a hard time finding work? How do you reassure him or make him feel good, say?
Oh, sometimes I freak out with him because it's like, really? No one will hire him? I mean, I feel like he's got just a better chance of getting the same job as someone with a PhD than, you know, them, because he's got actual experience, not college degree, excuse my language. But anyways, yeah, it's wrong that it's not equal. And at the same time, you know, I feel like we try, if the one has money, we spend it together. We think about, oh, what do we need the most? What do we feel like, you know, is luxurious but would make us happy? Like, right, or what would benefit us the most? Like, right now, I get school money, and we've both got phones now because we both made the decision together, you know, thinking we both need phones because that would help us in the long run. And so far, it seems to have, because when the guy for TPI, the employment specialist at TPI, sent out an email saying that Goodwill needs people to hire, I actually covered his security shift, and he was able to go down there and know about the information right away. So, I mean, we split everything equally. This situation's actually made us not be as selfish as, let's say, some couples.
Does it make you all stronger?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Inseparable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think something that's good about this environment is that you learn the value of just surviving. Most people take it for granted that they're going to wake up the next day, that there's going to be a roof over their head, that the elements are immediately trying to kill them. Me and Lisa understand that, hey, if we don't take care of our basic needs, we're gonna die.
That's true.
I wish I had the problems other people had. Like, oh no, I'm gonna lose my house. Well, that sucks, but it's not the end of the world, you know. This is a terrible thing. It's really hard to get any lower than this, but you learn what's really important.
Right.
And you learn why it's so important to take care of your other half, because it's not just her flunking out of school or her losing her job or her getting in a fight with a stranger or something petty and something like that. It's a matter of, oh my gosh, she broke her leg. How am I going to get to her to the hospital? Or we don't have any blankets and it's 20 degrees outside. Or you know what the real problems are, and they don't sweat the small stuff.
Does living in the streets and dealing with these everyday situations make you all love stronger for one another?
I've noticed it has since we've been actually out here, not in transitional housing. It's actually made us value one another in ways we thought we couldn't. So, I mean, it seems to have strengthened our relationship. We know things about each other that we thought we'd never know, so.
For the listening audience, can you do us a favor and say the old-time Valentine thing and look at each other in your eyes and face each other and say, Happy Valentine's Day, I love you.
One, two, three, go.
I love you, baby.
I love you, baby.
All right, thank you much.
Don't play it back.
I want to love you and treat you right. I want to love you every day and every night. We'll be together with the roof right over our heads.
This is Ibrahim Lubar from Right to Survive Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And we in Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, in a houseless community. And our topic of the day is love in a houseless community. And today, I'm here with
Charles.
Melissa.
Charles and Melissa, how long have you all been together?
4 years.
And how long you all been houseless together?
Oh, it's been since October, I think.
Has it been a struggle out here for you? With Melissa being on the streets together?
It's been a struggle. Worrying about my wife and where we're going to sleep. And the shelters was really a letdown because they want us to be separated. And yes, we're houseless, but we're not going to be separated. I don't know how to put it, but I love her very much. We're out on the streets and we're out on the streets trying to survive.
How does that make you feel that I can't stand the powers to be or the social service agency want to separate family?
It's horrible. They should look at relationships. On your own, it's really hard to survive. You have to struggle and you have to have that self-esteem to survive. I know if I didn't have Chuck by my side, I couldn't do this at all. He's my rock. I can't do anything without him, really.
Even some people in houses can't survive without their other mate, right?
And that's us as well. That's been us. We were in an apartment for 3 years together, and from the time we've met to now, only time we've been separated is when he was at work. Other than that, we've been together.
So what they're trying to say is that houseless people have be in love or be together or have love on the street.
That's correct. That's how they look at it. They say, well, at least you'll have one. You guys separate, well, at least you'll have a place and warm. But yeah, they don't want us together. I don't understand why, and that's what's frustrating about it. But I'm thankful that we came to RTD2. This is like a family here, a community, and we all work together, and it's great.
So, how did y'all meet?
I was a temp at his work, and I was assigned to his team. You could say I fell in love with the boss.
Oh, yeah. Fraternizing, huh?
Big time.
Okay. And when you first saw her, what did you think?
She was the woman for me. I need to explain to the audience that, you know, we have a big, big age difference. That's hurdle that we ran into. I'm 56 and she's 24 right now. A lot of people looks down on it. Love doesn't have no boundaries, no age, no how old you are. It's how you feel. And we face that a lot out there, but doesn't matter how old we are and how much the age difference is. And we're about to have a child too.
I'm going to lie, that was good. So when you first saw Charles, did your heart beat out of your clothes?
Honestly, when I first met him, I was afraid of him. He looked tough, he looked mean, I couldn't figure it out. And then he was helping me in an office, he was helping me with the trash, and he started opening up to me and talking to me about his cowboy days. He was a rancher. Well, my number one love is horses, so... I softened.
Right, that's good.
I softened up then for him.
Being in the streets, it's tough for a single person. And how hard for you all is being a couple?
It is hard. You have to, for some places, we don't go to Union Gospel Mission, for an example, because they won't let us eat together. We have to sit at one table. He sits at one table and I sit at another. We're not going to do that. That's why certain places we'll choose to go to, just so we can be together. But, you know, we, for the long haul, we chose to be together.
Charles, I mean, you said it was the age difference. Has any young Suave, Devonar, Eleganza, GQ guy tried to swoop down? And I mean, and she stays with you. How do that make you feel?
It makes me feel wonderful inside. I mean, because I'm 56 years old, and I've had relationships, but like she does, it's just, I mean, she's my rock too. I couldn't survive without her. I mean, she is so wonderful, so wonderful.
So when, how do you secure a child when, like, people saying that in this world that the man is the provider and the woman the nutrient, and you see that he's trying hard as he can, and certain circumstances, they won't let him provide for you. And what do you do to make him feel secure to want to stay and not just say, oh, you can do better, have somebody else?
I tell him that no matter what, there's no one out there for me. And no matter what, I'm not going anywhere. We'll tough this out together. We've always survived, and that's what we'll continue doing. And we'll always stay together.
Do you think living on the streets for this time that you all make you all closer or make you all appreciate each other more?
A lot closer. A lot closer. Very much for us being out here. And it's made us stronger.
Why do you think that is the reason?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why you think so, Melissa?
Because we have to rely on each other more. Before, we had our jobs. He had his job. And I had my time to be by myself and stuff. But here, in order to do anything, we need each other. We're talking to one another. No matter what, we're together. And like when we work security at night, he's at the corner watching everything. I'm doing my part, keeping an eye on his back. That's how our relationship is. So more and more, we're relying on each other, and it's made us stronger.
That's true partnership, right? I mean, it's not 50-50. It's doing all that you can. If all that you can is 5 cents, then that's it. Right?
That is it. There's no 50-50. There's none of that. We're one soul. I guess that's how I kind of put it. We're one soul. We're one spirit. That's the best I can explain it, but we're one spirit.
You all had Valentine's Day before, I assume. Okay. And y'all know about the commercial stuff. So does it make you feel like you need to get her something this Valentine's Day, or she can accept?
No, but I still like to. And the other day I surprised her with a Valentine teddy bear.
A teddy bear or a nightgown teddy bear?
No, a stuffed teddy bear. I mean, I made a few bucks on some cans, and so I went down the Dollar Tree and got her a Valentine's stuffed bear. I would like to do more, but love is 24/7 year round.
So what you're saying, one day you shouldn't show that appreciation. It should come all the time. That's what you're saying.
It comes all the time. It should be all the time. You're together, you're partners for the entire year. So why is it one day you have to do something special?
So on this Valentine's Day, do y'all have any significant plans, anything? I mean, how do houseless people celebrate Valentine's Day?
I think we're going to try and, I'm at least going to try and take him down to Waterfront. We still have some food stamps, so I was planning on doing a little bit of a picnic with him, but that's our plans.
I've been asking a lot of men this question, you know, I'm not, you know, because I'm inside now, and I know how I celebrated my Valentine's Day. What would you do when you come home from Cannon and Melissa got this nice legendary lingerie on, her hair low, and her flashlight? Okay, we can't have candles, so we have to have flashlights. And what, I mean, are you going to scream? Or
oh, my God. It'd be delightful. And it would be so wonderful. Even in our tent, it would be so wonderful. It would be so great.
We all have to have earplugs.
That sounds like it.
So I would like for y'all to look at each other and say, Happy Valentine's Day, I love y'all.
Happy Valentine's Day, love. I love you very, very much, sweetie.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And
I love
no
you.
Matter what, we're out here. No one is going to separate us. No one. No matter what the system tries to do or whatever, it would not separate us, sweetheart. You're my love.
Mine too.
If we're out in the streets, we're at the bridge, it doesn't matter where we're at. We will survive together.
As it always has
and
been.
We will have. We have our dream. And our dream, we have that right to dream.
Yes,
hey,
we do.
I'm doing a lot. Okay, that's good. Thank you all. Thank you very much.
One, two. Now if you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far. Don't worry, baby, just call out my name. I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry.
It's our Valentine's Day show here at Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm one of your hosts, Lisa Fay, and I'm enjoying listening to Harley and Lisa along with Carrie and Amber. Wow, what great outlooks they have on life and the support they have for each other. I don't know about you, but we here at Right to Survive are rooting for all our couples to be able to stay together through thick and thin, riding out the rough patches and acquiring strength for all their tomorrows. Let us continue our show.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we in the houseless community in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero. And our subject is love in a houseless community. And today I'm here with
Amber.
And Carrie.
How long have you all been together?
About 17 months.
Yeah, about 17 months.
You all been houseless during that time?
Yes.
Correct.
And how did y'all first meet?
Well, I showed up at the Red Doors and was chewing out another lady that I was mad at. And when I got done with that, I was talking to a friend of mine and I saw Amber sitting next to her. And I turned and I says, well, if nobody's going to introduce us, then this is my name. And I introduced myself to her.
How did you feel when he introduced himself to you?
At first, that first day, my name to him was, get you away from me, you scary man. Yes.
Is he still scary to you?
No, actually, I think he's kind of funny.
Okay. How did he get that opportunity to pursue you or flirt with you?
Well, actually, it was that same friend that didn't introduce us at first. She was texting him and telling him that I was asking about him, and she was texting me and doing the same thing, and yeah, she kind of got us together.
And when you saw him for the second time, did your heart flutter or you start forgetting things?
No, actually, it didn't.
Okay. And what about you, Carrie? When you saw her again, was it like utopia and fireworks started? The earthquake and the sky rained or what?
No, not really. But she looked like somebody interesting that I wanted to get with. And we ended up being together.
Okay. And y'all been together since, right?
Correct.
Okay. What makes y'all love stronger? I mean, this is a... And living on the streets, you know, it's all kinds of things. It's drugs, it's violence, it's good times, it's, you know, police, it's rainy days, it's sunny days. I mean, you get it all, but what makes you all love stronger?
Well, you know, not everybody has perfect days. And there's days that Amber and I have real bad days towards each other. But in the end, we've always been there for each other, and it's nice to have somebody out here on the streets that you know you can come home to, even though your home's a tent. You know you have somebody there to come home to, be able to spend your days with. You know that, like with me, I know it's my responsibility to take care of her, because I was raised it's the man's responsibility to take care of the woman. And so I do what I can to take care of her. It's nice knowing that I'm doing something for a positive instead of a negative.
In the last interview I had, I asked that question, does it put pressure on the man, because this is a misogynistic world where he just said the man must take care, man must provide, man must do this. Living on the streets, does it make him feel sad, or does it make the woman feel sad? And they said, well, it's a partnership, it's an equal thing, so it's not that he's supposed to say we take care of each other. I mean, do you feel that way?
Actually, the way I feel is, I know Carrie feels that he's under a lot of pressure to take care of me, and doesn't seem to understand that, yes, this is a partnership, and I'm just as capable of doing things as he is. What really helps is that we have each other's backs. No matter how stressed out and ticked off we are at each other, we're there for each other. And, you know, when we have a problem, we say, how can we fix this, instead of how can I fix this? So you have two people coming together and trying to make things better.
Do you think because you live on the streets, you have no television, no house, or no thing to go to, it makes y'all communication stronger, because that's all y'all have, is that means of communication between you and him, and it makes y'all love for each other stronger, because y'all can talk things out instead of, well, I'm gonna turn on the TV and turn it up loud, you know.
Actually, I don't really miss TV or anything like that, so. But yeah, I think us having to actually sit there and talk to each other instead of just ignore each other when we have a problem, even if we're yelling and screaming at each other to where the whole world can hear, actually helps, because at least then we talk things out instead of just ignoring it and letting it boil.
And what about you, Carrie?
We do have some comforts, like a DVD player. I do have a small TV. And we have a laptop, and yeah, we can bury ourselves in those, but we don't. We actually spend time together and talk and find out how each other's days went, how our meetings went, because she's involved in a bunch of meetings, I'm involved in a bunch of different meetings, and so we're like sometimes two ships passing in the night. When we do get a chance to be together, it's like, well, how's things been going with you?
Right.
And we're able to talk it out and let each other know how we've been doing, and it brings us closer together instead of burying ourselves in the TV or whatever, like I used to. I mean, I used to get off work, go home, plop my feet up, turn on the TV, and ignore my girlfriend. And now it's like I barely even watch it. And so it's a lot nicer than how I used to live.
So now you're too busy watching Amber, right?
Oh, I watch out for her a lot and everything, and I make sure she's doing okay and not stressing herself out too much. And when I see that she is stressing herself out too much, it's like, hey, you need to settle down. You're overworking yourself. You need to just slow down. She sees that I take too much on, and she comes to me and says, hey, you need to slow down. You're taking too much on. And so we'd let each other know when we need to just settle down, and so it's good.
So, Amber, you know, Valen, traditional things. I don't know if you're a traditionist. Are you a traditionist?
If you mean the type that believes in marriage and family and white picket fence and all that, yeah, that stuff would be nice. But I'm not really holding my breath on it. I'd be more happy even if we could just get a studio apartment together.
So in Valentine's, people bring chocolates and wine and roses and stuff. And if your partner, your boyfriend, husband, Carrie, can't bring that, would you be disappointed?
Probably at first, but then I would understand that he can't afford it, and I don't know, I wouldn't get too down on him for it.
So understanding is the thing. Understanding, communication, what keeps love in a houseless community, right?
Yes.
And do the popular belief that people can find love and stay together in this community?
Yes, they can. I've actually seen more couples that have been together on a consistent basis than the ones that are going from person to person to person. I think it's just more visible with the ones that are switching up partners and everything, because those are the ones that are like more out there, and you know, those are the ones that people always notice. But there's couples like Carrie and I and a lot of our friends that have been together, and they're there for each other.
So commonality, y'all find a common cause and something to fight for, and that keeps you all together, that common narrative, and not just coming home, going on the computer or TV or something, but that common narrative and y'all can talk on, like you said, how did your day go? How did your day go?
Yeah, it's like with Amber and I, yeah, we have different meetings that we attend, but we're also involved with Right to Dream 2 and Right to Survive, which is common for us, and so we come together on those two and work together on them to see what we can do to help improve the living situations for not only ourselves, but for the people that we bring in every night. That keeps us together and gives us something mutual to talk about rather than just being apart all the time. And that really helped. We have our mutual business together and we have our time apart from each other. And having the time apart and the time together with each other helps, because being together 24/7 like some couples are just really wears on them, to where you need to have that time apart in order to have time to just look at things differently away from your partner and say, well, okay, you know, when I'm with my partner, I can do things this way, and it's going to improve things, to where if you're together all the time, you don't see that. And so it really helps.
Amber, I mean, you all live in a tent on the sidewalk, and like you said, you may kind of be disappointed if Carrie don't bring flowers or chocolate or a card or wine and stuff. So what about you? Are you going to have on that green or white see-through gown or something?
I don't think that's really an appropriate subject for a radio show, the Reap.
Wow.
I mean, you know, you have a teddy bear on or what? I don't know. They're blushing, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a little inappropriate for the radio. Thank God it's not TV, or you'd really see us blushing.
But I mean, it's Valentine's Day. Come on. I mean, are y'all gonna have a candlelight dinner or what? How would a houseless couple celebrate Valentine's Day?
Well, number one, we're not allowed to have open flames, so we can't have candlelight dinner.
You know those little visual candles that battery operated? I mean, we inventive, come on.
We'd probably go for a walk and make sure our schedule's clear for the day and the night. No, actually, this year, what we're doing to celebrate Valentine's Day is we're going down to Eugene and going to a conference down there. So, yeah.
Hopefully both of us are.
What did y'all do last Valentine's Day then?
I think we treated it like any other day. I don't remember what we did last Valentine's Day.
I think what we ended up doing last Valentine's Day was both of us worked two different shifts of security here at the rest area.
By being in the streets, does the commercial holidays, do they have significant meanings to you all?
Okay, so Thanksgiving, I've decided, is just the day for an excuse to eat as much as you can. Christmas has more focused on material goods than anything else. And I'm sorry, just Valentine's Day, I don't believe that you have to have a certain day of the year to be able to celebrate your love for each other. You should be celebrating that every single day of the year.
For me, Christmas is just another day, because Christmas was my stepsister's birthday, and since she passed away, I really don't care for it anymore. Thanksgiving, yeah, I try to see how much pumpkin pie I can eat without getting sick. And like Amber said, Valentine's Day, you shouldn't need a special day to show your love for your significant other. It should be every day that you show that. I mean, if you can't show your love for your spouse and take care of them the way you should, then you don't need to be with them, because you shouldn't have to have a special day to show that.
So can you, in like 1 minute, put in a synopsis, what keeps y'all love going, the love that you have for Amber going on?
The love, what keeps my love for Amber going? You know, she's a special person. And when I first met her and found out how she grew up and everything, it was like, okay, one of those. But now that I've gotten to know her over the years, it's like, you know, she is a really neat person, really nice to get along with. I mean, I can talk to her if I need to, and she really understands, even though she really didn't know that much about street life until she got with me. She has really learned a lot and has really stepped up to the plate. And now it's like she's been on these streets for years on end.
Okay, Amber, can you tell us in a minute what keeps your love going for Carrie?
Well, what keeps my love going for Carrie is, well, first of all, his big bald head and the expressions he makes sometimes. Thanks. But it's just the fact that, you know, at first I kind of thought he was a jerk. You know, but once I got to know him after his whole anger man thing, you know, he turned out to be somebody who's really caring and listens to people as long as it's after his first cup of coffee and his first cigarette. You know, sometimes there's days when I'm like, why am I doing all this? And he'll take me aside and he'll explain to me, you know, yes, this, this, and this happened today that was bad, but this happened that was good. Like somebody got the help they needed or one of our friends had a really good day, and that just puts it all into perspective for me.
Now for the listening audience, can y'all look at each other in y'all big eyes and say, Happy Valentine's Day, I love you.
Happy Valentine's Day, I love you.
I love you too, baby. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh. Hey, nah.
I've only imagined you in every way. I only think of you all night and all day. When I'm asleep, you don't mean a thing, 'cause you mean everything to me. Oh, I'll be a shelter in the rain. I'll take away the pain. Never have to hurt again. Oh, wanna be your love supreme. Without you, I'm not complete. Oh, you're my everything.
This is Ibrahim Umar from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in a houseless community on Ground Zero, Portland. And our segment is Love in a Houseless Community. And we're here today with...
My name is Bosco.
And Elizabeth.
Okay. How long have you all been together?
We've been together 5 years and 4 months.
And how long have you all lived on the streets?
For... 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Okay. How did y'all meet?
On the streets.
On the street. Okay. When you first saw her, what made you approach?
Well, she was just an attractive young lady, and I seen her, and I was like, that's going to be my next Valentine's.
Okay. Okay. When he came to you with the Valentine eyes, what did you say?
I said that I was really embarrassed, and I was like, what's he trying to do? Yeah.
You know, it's a, I guess, a Grecian myth that homeless people don't love or are irate and always angry and no compassion in there. But you all been together for 4 years. What keeping you all together?
Well, I'm lots older and she's younger. So, you know, I've been through it and I don't plan to go back to it. So she really follows the lead with me. She's a very sharp individual, but for me being out here on the streets for 15 or 20 years, I got more experience, so she just goes by my judgment, and we survive and stay together, stay drama-free.
But being in the open, you know, how do you keep people out of your business and trying to separate you all?
That's where I come into play, because I do keep all the drama-free people away from us. Nobody likes me because of it, and they do cause a lot of problems for me because they try to play him and I against each other because I see right through them because I'm younger, and it's a younger generation, it seems like. Therefore, he doesn't, and lots of people don't like me because of it.
What you saying, lots of people, you mean lots of women?
Yeah.
I mean, some men may, but alhamdulillah, that's personal difference, right? So you keep everybody, away from them.
Yes.
Okay. In this day and time that you all decide not to go to shelters, right?
Right.
Can you tell our listening audience why?
Because there's really no solid, continuous place where we could go together and lay our head. You know, one night one place might be open, but then the next night they're not. So it's a real big challenge. Just, you know, us together, we'd rather be together on the sidewalk or in our doorway than to have to, you know, try to find a shelter where it's going to accept couples. That's why I'm glad that there's on Right to Dream, too.
So you'd rather stay outside in the rain, in the cold, with your loved one than be separated?
Yes, 100%.
You know, in this, American is a misogynistic country, meaning that men provide and men go work and take care of women. And how do you secure Bosco by not feeling that
you don't have you in a house, a brand new car, you know, you ain't got your Gloria Vanderbilts on or whatever, you know, and you see other women. How do you make him feel good if he can't provide those material things?
I just always say that, you know, one day we will have those things. It's something that we look forward to. You know, I'm fine without those things now, but yeah, they are good to have, but we just make goals for ourselves to where one day we will have those.
How'd that make you feel that, you know, you see the woman you love, that, you know, she's out here with you and she's struggling with you? How do that make you feel?
Well, to be truthful about it, it makes me feel good that she's here struggling with me. What about a Gloria Vanderbilt and Gucci? For 5'11s and Hush Puppies there, you know. It makes me feel good that my woman is here for me and not the material things.
So love don't consist of material things or monetary value?
No, no.
Can you tell us what it consists of to you?
Being together, you know, 100%. You know, you're supposed to have her back and she got your back, and there is no in-between. You know, there's a lot of young couples out there because they struggle because of so many adversities out there. But me being old school, you know what I mean? I'm a one-man woman, and she's a one-woman man, and we don't let nothing interfere with that, and we just stay strong and believe and have faith in each other. And so far, we all owe it to the man up there. You know, it's a blessing. Everything, we are very blessed. Me and Liz are very blessed to be together and to be blessed around a bunch of beautiful people. And we believe if we keep it like that, it's a beautiful thing.
Have any social service agency tried to separate you all, meaning that they would find you a place but not Bosco, or find Bosco a place but not you?
Yes, two or three different agencies. They either want to place me in a woman's shelter or a woman's program to where him and I can't have contact with each other, or they just want me to leave him because he is older than I am and tell me that I could do better for myself, and that will never happen.
That's kind of sickening that people dictate on who you should love and who you not love, but you suffer it out together, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Bosco, I know you do work. How does it make you feel when you come back that you see your loved one there waiting for you?
Oh, that's the best feeling in the world, you know, because I know she'd be waiting because, you know, I'm in love too, and I call her like 10 times, you know what I mean? Where you at, girl? You know what I mean? But yes, it's very special, and you know, and it's really sad because I know one day we will get it together, you know? I'm proud to be where I'm not very proud, but you know, I accept and I am proud to be where I'm at today because we have each other, and my most love is for the people on the streets that I'm a part of something now that's helping give back. So right now, that's my biggest love.
And when you see Bosco come back from a hard day's work, and when you see him come around that corner, come through, do your heart beat like boom, 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 and you flutter and you get happy?
Of course it does, because I know that he's going to feel good for working for the day, and I know that I'm going to feel good when the paycheck comes.
you can start saving up for those Gucci's and going back.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
Being in the street, does it make you all closer than you think if you was inside?
Yes, it does. Because, yes, it does, 100%. Make us way closer, because you know it's a battle out here on the streets, and that's all we have is each other. So it makes us, we have a special bond that I've never had with anybody else in my life. I've never loved anybody the way that I love this man, Bosco. It's a different kind of a love, and I think it's because we have been through so much in the 5 years that we've been together, and yeah.
Living on the streets, you think that brings y'all bond closer than being inside?
Yes, because believe me, for a female or your other half to be with you out here on these streets is a whole lot. And for her to stick by you, you know, a lot of females can't take it. They will leave you. But for one to stick with you out here, for sure, I'm very proud. And I love this woman for doing that.
Plus, y'all see the struggle. Y'all go through the same thing together. And that's what it says, through better and worse. And y'all struggle together. And you understand that. You think that's the key. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but no. Is it communication and understanding?
understanding what makes y'all love unique.
Yes, but mentally, you know, I'm cut out for it because, like I said, I've been on here longer. So, you know, I just like her to just stay back and rest and watch and learn and, you know, grow from it because I'm not going to tell her or anybody else anything bad, you know, because I have a lot of wisdom. So, you know, mentally, we're already set up, relationship, our head, we know each other, you know what I mean? So it's just this, these other little obstacles that's in the way, but other than that, mentally, can't no one tear that apart, you know?
Now tell me, what did you do the last 4 Valentine's days?
The last 4 Valentine's days.
How did y'all celebrate? I mean, you don't have to go into the gory details, not just... this is sense of beep, beep.
Okay, the last 4 Valentine's days, let's see. Well, he always buys me cards and roses and some chocolates every year, no matter what. He always buys me something. And what I try to do for him is I try to always provide him with a good meal.
So, how does it feel when you come, let's say, to your tent and she have that red see-through? Is that the meal she provides?
Well, if I come to the tent and she got on a red bunny, she gonna. Yeah. It's very special and entertaining for my woman to be in a teddy. You know, that would be so special to come to a set and see my woman in a red teddy. Oh, that would be the most blessing Valentine's that, woo! I love you, babe.
You can't talk now. Yeah. You're thinking about the red teddy. Okay.
That's what Valentine's about, Ibrahim. You know, love and joy and laughing. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, God put it in our hearts to where, you know, it's hard to take our spirituality and our joy because we're, you know, we're so full of it and we got a lot to give, you know what I mean? So, you know, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. And, you know, Liz, I love you and I hope, you know, that we can be together for the rest of our life. Thank you for this interview. You know, I'm growing, you know, being a part of Right to Dream too, and I am so blessed. And I would just like to say happy Valentine's to everybody and I'm out of here.
You can't talk no more. What did we do to him, Liz? Okay. All right. Okay. So, Liz, that, you know, what you were saying, just the car, the chocolate, the flower, just the little things. You don't need no mansion or no cars.
No, it is. It is those little things that just spark your heart, you know, because we don't get those things all the time. So when you do get them, it makes your heart flutter. It's the little things that count. I would rather have the little things than the enormous things that I'd have to worry about. Those little things, they're once in a lifetime.
So do you think that if you was never in this situation that you have that same type of mentality?
No. If I was, yeah, it would be a whole different outlook probably if I wasn't in this situation.
Hopefully when you all get better, you've remembered that it don't take a brand new house or a car to make y'all love work.
That's right.
Just family, unity, and togetherness.
Can you do the listening audience one? Look in each other's eyes and say, happy Valentine, I love you.
Happy Valentine's, I love you.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, stranger to my
As we wind down this hour, we want to thank our guest couples, Harley and Lisa, Charles and Melissa, Amber and Carrie, Bosco and Liz. We had a lot of fun putting this show together, and we hope you enjoyed laughing along with our couples. We have been inspired to remember to do little things that mean a lot and say to our partners those words that speak of devotion, trust, and commitment. It is in the hearts of all of us here at Right to Survive Radio that you love deeply and your life is full of abundance. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Right to Survive is working on the Houseless Bill of Rights the second Saturday of each month from 2 to 4 p.m. at Sisters of the Road on Northwest 6th and Davis. Right to Survive meets on the second and fourth Thursday of the month at Northwest 6th and Davis from 5 to 7 p.m. Come hear what we are planning and enjoy some lovely home-cooked food. Right to Survive does Under the Bridge walks on the first and third Tuesday of each month. We distribute newsletters and speak to the people of the unhoused community here in Ground Zero, Portland. We meet up at Northwest 4th and Burnside in front of the Right to Dream 2 rest area. Join us again next month on the second Wednesday in March here on KBOO 90.7 FM at 6 p.m. for another great radio show. Right to Survive is on Facebook or at www.wordpress.com or reach us by email at r2spdx@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening and happy Right to Survive will be rallying and marching on February 27th at 8:30 a.m. in front of City Hall. We will join in solidarity with Right to Dream 2 in HaHa. We will be celebrating the successes that come from places like Right to Dream 2 and the need for safe rest areas for houseless people to sleep, take pride, and ownership of. HaHa will be speaking inside City Hall addressing the city commissioners. When they come out, we will march down to Right to Dream 2 on Northwest 4th and Burnside. There will be food that will be prepared for those who have joined in on the march. Once again, we will begin our rally at 8:30 a.m. in front of City Hall. Please come out and show solidarity with Right to Survive, Right to Dream 2, and HaHa.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, your community radio station, also heard around the web at www.kbu.fm. Up next is a Black History Month special featuring myself and my father as a special guest replacing Hard Knock Radio for tonight. Stay tuned after these messages.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor an evening with Scott Silber, speaking on Threat to Themselves and Others, Intervention on Corporate Addiction to Power, Before It's Too Late. He'll be in Portland on Sunday, February 17th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue, at the corner of 12th and Salmon. Scott Silber is National Director of National Intervention, who are calling for a 28th constitutional amendment to eliminate corporate personhood. More information about Scott and the event can be found at kbu.fm/ScottSilber2013.
Saturday the 16th at noon. Tune in for the next Jerry Garcia Covers Project, featuring the first of two funk and soul themed shows. Stevie Wonder, Martha and the Vandellas, The Meters, and many more. Saturday, February 16th at noon on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
I'll never forget.